That you would pray with me, that we would ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us for his preached word. So let's go to the Lord now.
Father God, we do pray, as we heard in the book of Ephesians, that Pastor Nick told us that we would ask that you would open the mouth of your pastor and the ears of the congregation, that we would hear your word. Father, that it would be preached in such a way that it would shape us and change us to live in a way that is a glory to you. It is made to be, and how we are designed, what would be the best blessing for us, which is to walk in a manner worthy of you and to walk with you. And so we ask, Lord, now as your word now is preached, that we would learn how to do that. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, and amen.
Church, I ask if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're beginning in chapter 5 of this book. We're blazing through with a whole chapter today. We're going through all of chapter 5 at this time. Last week, we ended with the family line of the world, of the secular world, through the line of Cain. And we saw that downward trajectory. We saw where the line of the world takes us, which is death, which is misery, which is separation, which is wandering, which is nothingness. That is the line of the seed of Cain. And I know that it is, and even yet, when we ended there, we were introduced to the godly line, to the line of Seth, where they began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so today we're going to follow that line. We're going to see how that line not doesn't lead down to death, but leads to life and to resurrection and to glory. And this is our family tree. All those who are in Christ Jesus, we're going to see this. This is not just any family. This is our family. This is the family that God has brought us into, an inheritance which he gives us, that we are adopted into the line of Seth. And so now, church, I ask that you would stand and that you would hear your genealogy, hear from Moses, and what family you are in. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. When Kenan lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When Jared lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years, had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So in the organization of Genesis, how it is structured, we come now to a new section in Moses' book that he wrote with this phrase, which we see repeated 10 times. This is the book. This is the generation of. This is the Toledot, it says. That is an organization of how all of this book is organized. 10 histories, 10 genealogies, 10 families. Moses organizes his whole book to show that family lines are important and that the promise that he has given, that God has given us, is worked in this manner. It is the way in which, from Adam to the patriarchs, how God works out his plan of salvation through families. From generation to generation, he promises to deliver, to bring this seed of the woman. In the very promise, seed of the woman, it sounds like offspring. It sounds like family. It sounds generational. And that is right. And that is what we're seeing here as we read line after line after line, name after name after name of this first genealogy. Genesis is the foundational book of our faith as Christians. And the genealogies are foundational to how we understand, how we approach God, how he organizes everything. This is what's very important. In a world where it's just about me and my Bible, we have to understand in the genealogies, it's more than that. That God thinks of you more than just as a person, but in a family. He connects these together. He focuses us. And so today, we're going to learn about our family. We're going to learn about the line of Seth and what that means in the promises of how we find our faith, how we find our communion with God, how we rest in him through this family line. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow by names. Names are very important. Even, I tell you, I have studied Genesis, I don't know how many times, but really focusing on names, it really has driven home just what God is doing in how he operates. So we're going to follow three names today. We're going to follow in the line, every name, but in the I'm going to pick three big ones. I'm going to start here, and this is where the outline of today's sermon is going to follow. We're going to start with Seth and think about what it means for him to be the spreading God's image. We're then going to look at Enoch and what it means to walk with God, what is going on here with what Enoch is showing us as an example. And finally, we end with Noah, really focusing on his name, not his works yet. We're going to get into his works the next few chapters and what God does with him, but in his name, what it means for us, we will see that here. So let's begin by looking at Seth, the spreading of the image of God. Our text, it begins here, and I will direct you again to the first five verses, which say this: "This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man." Man right there in Hebrew is Adam. So he named them Adam when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So here is this pattern, this beginning, this generation, this Toledot. And there's something unique about this line that we don't get in any other line, anywhere else in Scripture, really, and how it starts. And the way it describes Seth, it says that he is created in the image of God, that he passed his image to his son, another image bearer. The only time this is made, no other family tree, it describes or starts this out this way.
This truly is showing us a difference between the line of Cain. Cain and how, and if you recall just last week and how it was described, you didn't get the ages of any of the descendants. It's almost as though they just drift away, as though it's just, they're just like chaff, where they're thrown up into the air and they just go to nothingness. Here is a rootedness that we see within the family. But we also do understand, even in the line of Cain, everyone is made in God's image. There is no distinction between the secular world, the seed of the serpent, and God's glorious kingdom of the seed of the woman, all made in the image of God. So why does it start here? What is Moses telling us? There's something here that we need to see. What we're going to see in this line is what God is going to do, and what God does is he restores what was lost in the garden. And in particular, this pathway that we're going to walk with these families, he is restoring by his grace what we lost when sin entered the world through Adam. It's going to show us that the passing of the image does not end with the sin coming in. That calling for us to be image bearers hasn't stopped. It hasn't gone away. Even though Adam failed, his calling is to be an image bearer to take out. That calling, even in our sin by God's grace, he is going to make a way for us to continue in our created order, in our design. Can you imagine living the rest of your lives unable to do what you're made for? You're created to be an image bearer, and yet you hate that image, and all you do is run from it. And how the misery of that life, how that would look? What we see here in the promise as it starts here is that God is going to set things right enough for us to do what we're called to do, for this church to be disciple makers, to be image bearers. And so our very forefather, Seth, is described this way to show us what we are, that God is going to restore what we have lost. Adam learns this by the way he names Seth. We come to the first name, what it means. Seth sort of sounds like seed, right? It does sound like that, but that's not it. That's actually Cain. Here he is. That's what he means. Seth means frail one, means one of weakness. And Adam was learning this, that it's not in our strength that we're going to get restored, we're going to be able to follow what God commands us. It's not in our own abilities. He's going to teach Seth from the beginning that you must rely on God. You are frail. You are but a human sinner. And so out of the gate here, the name that he says is that you are going to need to rely on someone else to pass this image. You are going to need the redeemer of the promise of the seed of the woman. You are going to need, Seth, to teach this to your kids. And every time they say your name, those around you, they're going to remember what Adam is saying, is that it's not you, Seth, that this promise comes. It's in the need of another. Do you remember, as I already said in the book, in Genesis chapter 4, how we first are introduced to Seth, that in the line of Seth is that it says that they began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what this name is saying, is don't call on me and my strength. That's Cain. That's how he thinks. Cain dedicated his own son to himself. He built a city after himself. He saw the strength in the community of himself. He said, self, self, self. Seth, point to somebody else because you are weak. That is what we're seeing. The beginning of the blessing of the line. That you and I can follow the cultural mandate still to take the image out. And that image is not me and not you. It is another. That is what the name of Seth in frail one means. And what we have to also learn is this is what we teach our children. This is what we teach as we go and what we need. We need to point to Christ, to the seed that will come to be a deliverer, and not to our own strength and our family. And not just in the big things, not just love Jesus, but live how you want. No, everything, the little mundane things of life, we need to teach this. Rely on Christ for everything. Not your own passions, not what makes you most happy. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to the frailty of Seth, not the strong pride of Cain. And guide. We need to teach humility. We need to teach this trust of another. And so when your kids say, look, I don't want to come to church, Dad.
Mom, I don't want to sit in the service for how long? It's so boring. We want to teach our children the difficulties of their heart. Their heart is going to want to just have comfort and ease. But what we need to teach is the frailty and the weakness of even our children. They must understand that the greatest strength is learning about Christ, worshiping Him, growing in Him. The strength of it, not of what is fun, but what is true. And this is difficult. And yet this is our calling. And so Seth learns this. It's in your weakness, Seth, that we are going to grow in this. Our calling, our duty is to pass on the image of God to others. We are to pass it to our neighbors. We're to pass it to our friends. We're to pass it even to our families. But truly, we're to pass it to our children, one generation to another, much like we see here. And what we honor, what our kids see us honoring, they will honor. What we see us, what we see with the parents, our word, when they're in their word, reading it, and kids see it, that says something about how we're growing. It's not about my strength, son. It's about Christ. I need Christ, as do you. See, my kids, three of my four boys went in the Air Force, and I didn't tell them to do it. And it's okay. It's okay if not all of them went. Because again, it was not my calling to have them go into the Air Force. But they saw me in my life, what I honored, what I respected, what I to serve. And even though I didn't say it, they saw it and they followed. But my prayer is that my children will see the love of Christ. And as I'm opening my word and I'm sitting there and I'm just reading it, that they will follow after me. That's my hope. Not that they go into my secular vocation. Now, if they all want to be pastors now, that's great. But the boys, at least. But the calling in this is that we want to show our children the love that we have and to understand what they need and not what is fun for them. That is, we are to show, do I show the love that I have in my hobby, in my sports team, in what I'm reading, or do I show them Christ, parents? How do we live in such a way that we show the frailty of our own hearts and how we love our children in this way? You see, this is what we have to understand. Here's the difference, and we're going to bring this to this. These pictures that I'm going to show you, I know they're small, and I apologize for that. But I do want to make this point. I will explain what you're seeing here. In first off, what the contrast between the two family lines, as we see here in the beginning here, it's not in culture or growth. That is what that little picture on the first two. They're the same between Seth and Cain. It's a civilization. It's a city. Cain has a city. Seth has a city. It's not in the amount of people that are coming. It's not as though Cain has all the people and Seth has none. That is not the difference. It's not even just being image bearers, because both Seth and Cain are image bearers. Here is the difference. Here is what we see. It is one who brings death through looking at self. You can look at the next slide, sir. And one who turns and trusts in God, who trusts not in yourself, but frailty. You see, I'm frail. I need the blood of Jesus to cover my sin. And generation to generation, out of the gate, that's what we see. We see Cain, death. Seth, life. And what we also see here in this pattern, there is an optimism that we have. It is a glory that we see in this family line of Seth that comes. And yes, there's frailty, and yet we can call on the name of the Lord. But I hope you heard, as I read the entire chapter, a pattern of what is coming as we are going and the blessings that we have in living this line that God is restoring. Nevertheless, there's still a dark cloud, isn't there? Because it said this over and over and over and over again. And he died. And he died. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And from Adam to Seth, Seth lived 912 years. Well, he died. And then Enosh lived 905 years. Well, and he died. And then Canaan lived 910 years. And he died. And then Mahalalel and Jared and Enoch and all and on and on. Those are long lines. Those are long family lines. But there is an end, isn't there? There's a beginning and an end. Death. Death is not natural. Death was not what we were made for. We were not made to die. Death and the suffering and the misery that is in this world is sin, not natural. And so now even those who are in the line of Seth, we still experience, because of God's justice, death. That is the pattern that we see here. Everyone is going to follow from Adam onward. We'll talk about Enoch here in a second. But the pattern generally, most normally, is that we all are going to die. Even those long 1,000 years. They lived 1,000 years. Can you imagine? 1,000 years. But they probably said, when they were coming to the end, oh man, life is so short. It was just like a, I just remember when Adam was only 400 years, I could remember that. Life is short. Every person is going to experience death until he comes. And we see in the pattern of this death, that everyone is going to return to dust. If you've ever lived and gone over into Europe, and you go to those graves outside of churches where you can't even read who this person was, because wind and everything is just whitewashed, it's washed it away, so you can't even read them on the tombstones of what is going on. That is just the length. It just shows us, and he died, and he died, and he died. This is a brutal fact. Life ends, and death is the consequence of rebellion against God's will. That we're all, this is what we face. So where's the hope in this? So it's great that you named Seth frailty. That just means death, right? Why don't we just teach our kids, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow it is all ended. Well, we can see here that because there is a promise of a seed of a woman, that it doesn't just end in death for us. And we will see that as we continue in this story, as we look to the next person, as we look to Enoch, that God's grace, he brings life from death. And so let us look at Enoch, and let's see what how he's described. And it jumps down to verse 21, as it starts here with Enoch. It says this: when Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, the other sons and daughters, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Numbers, names matter. Numbers really matter in the Bible. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but there's nothing random about God's word. And that numbers do mean things, and the patterns of things. God is so amazing at how he communicates and how he orders. And he's in control. God is he's just sovereign. God is nothing by chance. He's doing all of this. And so he brings Enoch at the exact time. If you do the math, if you count, where is Enoch in the line? Well, we know from Jude. Jude tells us that Enoch is the seventh in the line after Adam. And so that's the line of Seth. Where is the seventh line? Well, who's seventh in the line of Cain? Lamech, that wicked Lamech, not the good Lamech, the bad Lamech, the one who sings to get praises to himself, that Cain murdered someone, but I murdered someone, but just out of my own will, that God protects Cain, but I protect myself. That's the Lamech. That's the seventh in the downward spiral of Cain. But now we come to this seventh in the line, this man Enoch. And he is such a godly man that we are to see. But he's not the only Enoch, right? There is another Enoch. There wasn't Enoch and Cain, right? There wasn't Enoch Cain's son? Which means dedicated. It means it's the same thing. Why is there Enoch over here with Seth and Enoch over here with Cain? Well, could it be that we look and we see that there is a Satan side Enoch and a godly side Enoch? That there's a seed of the serpent on one side and a seed of the woman on the other? That the reason that Jude even says this is the seventh, this is the seventh man that's from the seventh in the line, is to say, this is the godly Enoch, not that other one. And so we're to follow the good one and not the bad one, as we see. So what is it about Enoch that we want to follow? This good one, not the bad one. What is it about him that is the seventh, that is the pinnacle, that is the one to follow? What does it say? What does the text say about him? It says that he walked with God. He walked with, because he walks with him, this phrase, this is what separates him. This is the only for this description for Enoch and for Noah. This is how they are both described, that they walked with God. This phrase tells us there was this close personal communion. Not just that he was saved, that he knew there was a Savior, but he actually fellowshipped with God. Remember what they lost. Remember what Adam lost. He lost the ability to be an image bearer through sin, which is now restored, and he lost communion in the garden. And now we see God in his grace restoring the promises of what was to be in the garden, that there is possible to have communion with God. It's like going back to the garden to have fellowship with him. What a great example it is to just be a godly line, that he obeyed his father and he loved him. There was trust and love in walking, not behind him, not in front of him, next to him. That Enoch is described as walking right next, shoulder to shoulder, walking with the Lord in the quietness, in the pleasance of the garden. And now we see Enoch just walking in this same way. The same description actually we see in the minor prophets of the priests that go into the Holy of Holies. It talks about them walking with the Lord, walking on the same path. You get this picture of communion. So here, this is what we see. This is what we don't learn when we're talking about this, about what it means to be with God. It doesn't just mean the experience of feeling something good. It's not just my feelings, but in an experience of obedience, of walking on the same path, that is what builds communion. That's the picture, and that's why this picture of walking is such a good picture for us, walking on the path, experiencing communion this way, knowing him, that he's never going to leave us, that he's right next to us, that even in the darkest places, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. I can feel the comfort of the Lord's presence. And how do I do that? How am I in the seed of the woman, the seed of Seth? How do I experience this? By faith, by obedient faith. The great theologian, George Michael, right? You got to have faith. That is true. We have to trust him in such a way that we live for him. Faith is the key. And this is what the author to the book of Hebrews tells us as to why Enoch was doing what he does. It comes from Hebrews 11, verse 5. I even have it here for you to follow along. It says, By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Not just any faith, not just blind faith, but a trusting faith of walking in the same direction. Not trusting in our own understanding. Yeah, God, I know you saved me, but now I got this. I got this. That's not Enoch's path. It's a faith that lives in the Word of God. It seeks to know God's plan in his Word and meditating on it and just seeping into his very Word. And he pleased God. You see, so when he walked with him, this is what he's doing. He is, as Amos says, that he is agreeing in the direction he should go. He's saying, Lord, I know this is your path, and so I'm going to follow it. I'm going to follow you. Amos says, do two walk together unless they are agreed to meet? So if Enoch's walking in the same path, it's clear that he's not fighting him. He's not resisting him. He's not saying, God, how could you do this to me? He's not saying, God, I don't understand what your Bible is telling me in this doctrinal hardness of something. He's just trusting and walking. And that, over time, is growing him. He's just believing his promises. There's a seed of the woman that's going to come, and I'm going to be saved. He's seeing that his ways, that path is correct. I'm going to walk this way. He knows his Word is sufficient. I'm going to believe what you're saying. And he does it over a long period of time. Long time. 300 years. This is not some sprint. This is a marathon of believing. This is what this Christian life of ours, that's why Enoch is so good for us. It's good if you just, if you sprint for a time and say, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And then you either stop or you go on your own path. That's not Enoch's way. 300 years of running. Brutal. I bet he was in shape.
But I'm saying he's in shape in the sense of his faith. He was in shape in the sense of his strength, not trusting himself, not trusting his own ways. He trusted in God over time. He believed him. And you know what he learned? He learned if you were walking on a path and he looks to the right and the left, you know what he learns? He learns that over there and over there, especially the line of Cain, scary, bad, sin. Sounds pretty clear for us, right? Sin is bad. Righteousness, God-following path is good. But he had to learn this over so much time. That's where it continues. Remember what I said in Hebrews 11:5. This is what the next verse says, a more famous verse that we know. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The context of this is Enoch in walking, in the way in which you learn that he exists and the way in which you are going is right. That brings a reward, the destination. And he also learns, if you go that way, it really is bad. He says that you can actually go off. He learned the consequence of sin. And we should all learn that too, should we not, church? What sin, where sin takes us. This is what I quoted this before, but let me show it to you now. In the book of Jude, Jude references Enoch. It says this. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See, Enoch knew the path of the seed of the woman. He was saying he was walking on that, but he also knew the path of the seed of the serpent, of the ungodly, where it would lead. It would lead to destruction. It would lead to judgment. It would lead to death. And you know how I know this? Besides, of course, the New Testament tells us is what he preached. We know it in the names that he gave to his offspring. Methuselah. Do you know what Methuselah means? Right? When we think of Methuselah, we think of old. Old is Methuselah. So it must have something to do with oldness, right? No. His name means this literally. When he dies, judgment will be sent. When he dies, the flood is coming. That's the guy. That's his children. That's his name. Judgment is coming. Can you imagine? What's your name? Methuselah. What's your name? When he dies, judgment comes. When I die, judgment comes. That's my name. Why does Enoch do this? Because he knows what is coming. Why does God allow Methuselah to live longer than any other human being on the face of the planet? It's not just, we just think it's a random fact at Jeopardy. Well, who's the oldest man in existence? Methuselah. No, the reason is it shows God's patience. When you hear Methuselah from now on, know his grace, that he waits, that he allows us to gather as many and warn of the coming destruction. His very name means there's going to be destruction after I die. His very life means God is patient. We should look to this and see the love that God has. That would be encouragement to us that death is coming, and yet there is hope because there is life. And that really shows us one last thing about Enoch here. Is it says this interesting and yet very difficult phrase. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That means that Enoch didn't die like a death that we did. He didn't taste death. He didn't taste the grave. God took him. God took him. And so what is the hope that we have here? Not that if we do the right things, God is not going to make us taste death. That's not our hope here. But what it does show is that death is not the end. That God is going to make, God makes a way for all those who trust in him to even though we die, yet shall we live by faith. And he died and he died and he died and he died is what we hear. And yet we see, but he didn't die, for God took him. And that is the hope that we have in this. Death is not the end. Misery in life is only fleeting. Misery here is just but a whisper. It's just a momentary tick on the clock. And God used Enoch to show us this. The seed of the woman brings deliverance, brings promise, brings life. This should be an encouragement to you. Even in your suffering, even as you're suffering, as you get older, as you feel the pain of things. But God took Enoch and he will take us. This is the direction of the godly line. Communion with him and life, not death. That is what we see here. That's the pattern I love. That's Psalm 23. I already said a part of it, but we know how it ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as I walk with him, I have communion. And there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All those. That is the hope that we have of the line of Seth. But that is not the end here that we see. There's actually one more name that we have, and that is Noah. So let's look at him now. In verse 28, it starts this way. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Then when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us relief from all our work and from our painful toil of our hands. Here's the last major theme that we see this. Frailty, and yet we look to another. Communion as we walk with God. And now we see this rest. His name. It means rest. The son of Lamech, the good one. Not that bad one, not the seventh in the line of Cain, but this Lamech, the son of this Lamech that we see, the grandson of Methuselah, we see this. Noah lives for 500 years, and we're going to focus on Noah here in the next few chapters. We're going to see really how God works in his promises, and all this is going to come. But for right now, just look at his name, because this is the only place that we get the definition, no kidding, of his name. It's not just what I tell you about what I've done from looking at the Hebrew. It tells you. Look at what his name is. It defines him. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Now, the actual word is rest. I mean, that's a mouthful for that one word. Wouldn't that be Noah? That's what Noah means? Well, I mean, it means rest. But what is being translated here by Moses is saying this is what rest means. It's a real rest that God is restoring that we lost in the garden. When he cursed the land because of Adam, from the sweat of your brow, it was going to be easy work. Now it's going to be hard work. But there's going to be rest from that work, from the seed of the woman. That's the family promise. That's the end of the line, that God's grace restores rest. And not just rest from work, but from the curse and the pain and the sweat and the working of the ground. His very name is what gives us hope today, gives you hope today. It is, if you're walking in the world, if you are walking in the seed of the serpent, the path of Cain, you may get outward prosperity, because that's what we saw in Cain. Cain may get rich. You may get riches. You may get glory. You may get honor. The world may adore you. To what end? To what end are you walking? Cain to Enoch, the bad one. To the false religion of Mahalaleel, to Lamech, to that deprived marriage that Lamech had of two women, not of one woman, one man in the image of God, but in his own image, they led to nothingness, to drift, to separation, to death. But now we see in this seed, this genealogy, Seth, frailty, trust in God's strength. Enoch, dedicated to God, resting, walking in him, and leading us to Noah, to true rest, to reversal of curse, to what we lost with Adam in the covenant of works that we've went through, that covenant that Adam was supposed to do, that rest he was supposed to take us to, failed, and all humanity follows. But now the seed of the woman, we find rest. Cain brings exile. Seth brings life. What a glory this is. What we see here. So here's the choice that you have, church. This is the choice. This is the path. You really only have two families that you can be a part of. There is no neutrality. There is no Switzerland. You're either Cain or Seth.
You're either the promise of the one destination leads to downward, one destination leads upward. One seed of the serpent, hold his promises. One seed of the woman, hold his promises. Horatius Bonner, the father of the Free Church of Scotland, gives a great quote here. And I want to drive this home. And I want to also, if I could put that picture up just to show, listen, as I read this, think about this. Think about that picture, but listen to this. This is what Horatius says about this. The first Adam dies, and we die in him. But the second Adam dies, and we live in him. The first Adam's grave proclaims only death. The second Adam's grave announces life. I am the resurrection and the life. We look into the grave of the one and find that he is still there, his dust still mingling with its fellow dust about it. We look into the grave of the other and find that he is not there. He is risen. He is in heaven, our future home of the redeemed. All who, in this line by faith, have a rest that is coming. That is what we see. That is the difference here. That is the choice that we have of these two family lines. How does the seed of the woman do this? How do we actually do this? I will tell you, think of those names again. This is how it really works. This is how we find rest, because Christ took on all of those names for us. It really, every name doesn't just point us to how we're to live. Every name points us to Christ and how he lived so that we can trust. Every name that Christ took on humanity's frailty, did he not? Was he not born in a manger instead of being born into a palace? Did he not take on the frailty of humanity and live as suffered in such a way as Seth is called to be? Frailty? Did he not walk with God? Did he not walk with his father as Enoch did? And where did that path take him but to the cross? Did he not go to the cross? The Father says, go to the cross. He says, your will be done. He was walking like Enoch, like no one else could. And like Enoch, the Lord took him, raised him from the dead, accepted him in our place. Not because of Enoch, because Enoch was a sinner. If we just trust in Enoch, we are doomed because sinners can't save. But Christ, in his humbleness, took on our sin, walked with the Lord to the cross, and died so that he could be Noah, reversing the curse of what was in the ground, giving us rest, leading us to rest. That is what we have in Christ Jesus, the seed of the woman. That is the hope that we have. That is this line. That's why genealogies are really important. Hopefully you'll never look at them again in a bad way in this, especially as you get to Matthew. That we see that we hear the promises, the free offering of the seed of the woman, the free offering to you, church, not what you have done. You don't deserve to be in that family line. I deserve to be, but by the grace of God, I should be in Cain's line. But by the grace of God, I should be on my way to death, living for a time in prosperity, but then downwards of death. But God in his grace gave me a heart to trust him before I was born and before you were born. He put you, he grafted you in supernaturally into this family of Seth. And so how are you going to live? Are you going to live in the line of the seed of Cain? Or are you going to walk with Enoch, walk with Christ in obedience? Where are you going to find your rest? In the world and all it has to offer? Or are you going to rest in the Word? Rest in Christ. Rest on the day that he has given. Rest on this Sabbath day. Make this day different. Is this different for you? Are you resting in Christ? It's freely offered to you. Why do we think that it's okay for us? Why do we still strive after the worldly wise ways of thinking that's how we find our rest? Romans 5:14, Paul tells us this. That from Adam onward, death reigned. It reigned over Adam and has reigned over all of his descendants after him. But death has been conquered. And the power of death is broken by the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ is so that for us today, all who believe in him will have life. Look to Jesus Christ. Christ restores what we lost in the garden. He restores us so that we can be image bearers. He restores us that we can have communion in his word. He restores us for the rest that we can find through Noah. So let us look to this family line. Let us praise him for this day. Let us praise him for all that he has done. Look to Jesus Christ and no other. Church, let's pray.
Father God, would you praise you for your mercy and for your grace in allowing us to join Seth's family tree by faith. Father, we pray that you would help us to better reflect your image to this world by walking with you on a path that you have defined in your word. Help us to live a life of obedience and to trust you as we look to the rest that Noah represents to us. Father, may you be glorified as we grow into our maturity, as we, even over this week, Father, even over this day, Father, may you be glorified. But you may be glorified day and then month and then in year and then decade, Lord, as we follow in the path of the longevity of Enoch, that we see that it is a lifetime that we get to walk with you on the path that you have created for us. Father, you are to be praised above all else, and we do so now, through your name, and amen.